This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
I'm scared, what do I do? Huh? Need advice and I want to have a laugh too. Yeah. Gotta listen to the podcast if I were you. Amir and Jake always coming through. They both have really high IQs.
Smart.
JK, they're as dumb as a cashew. Scoop. What can you expect from a couple Jews or a little baby chipmunk's point of view?
Aw, he's so cute.
Hey guys, I'm kidding. You're not as dumb as a cashew. You're as dumb as an almond. One almond. One almond. One almond.
Whoa.
Holy shit, a diss track.
I can take it.
You're weeping.
It's like, what the fuck did he mean by
why
that?
Why did you say I can take it as you cried?
I said I could take a gentle ribbing.
This was way more than a gentle ribbing.
He said, what did he say? He called me like...
It was verbal roughhousing.
It was unfair to me, was what it was. Because I could be like, you could say like, I'm handsome but not hot, and that's fine, even though it's kind of
fucked
up.
That wouldn't even be like a gentle ribbing.
But he'd be like... What did he say?
I guess that's like a backhanded compliment or something.
He called me tall.
You wish he called you tall. He like, said you were as dumb as a cashew. You're crying harder.
A nut-based insult?
Then he said you were dumber than a cashew, as dumb as an almond.
An insulted almond.
Nice.
Thank you.
That's not dumb. That's smart comedy.
Matt Brooks himself... He says, instead of shouting out my other shitty music, can you shout out my website, everysingleframe.com? It's a website that lets people explore images from critically acclaimed films in a completely random order. I think Jake would like it. 2001 A Space Odyssey is my favorite. Ooh. Everysingleframe.com.
Wait, what does it do?
I guess it's a website that lets people explore images from critically acclaimed films.
I feel like I've seen this website before.
Oh, interesting. I wonder if it's every frame or just the exciting frame. Oh, yeah, look at this. So they have American Psycho, everysingleframe.com/American Psycho, and then I click on random frame, and it shows a random frame from the entire movie.
Wow.
I wonder if this is random frame from every frame, or he just chose like the coolest scenes. Could be random frame indeed. Some of these are very uneventful.
Oh, yeah. Cool. I see. You just click on a random. That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
It was a nice frame, actually.
Yep.
That's actually a really random frame.
That's a super random.
All right. Thanks, Matt Brooks, for coming up with that.
You could put a grid on it.
This is the April Fool's episode of our show. It's an April 1st episode release, Monday, April 1st.
And this is not a joke. When this episode comes out, you'll have fucking perfect-ass eyesight.
Close. This comes out at midnight. My LASIK is sometime Monday, April 1st morning.
Oh, wow. So when this comes out, you'll be under the laser.
Under the laser, below the knife, above the vest, below the fold, blurred, scared, afraid, and shivering so much that the laser can't focus on my cornea.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have to give me a Xan 30 hours till I land.
I took a Xan.
Did you?
I took a Xan. They gave me a Xan.
They asked me if, like, do you want a prescription for a Xanax? Some people take it. And I said, do most people take the Xanax? Is that, like, a thing? And she's like, no, most people don't. I'm like, okay, so I don't need a Xanax. But now I'm fucking thinking about it.
Well, they gave me one. I mean, it definitely... I wish they gave it to me 20 minutes before.
Yeah, like it didn't hit until after.
I definitely was not feeling the effects of my Xanax while I was up under the lays.
My face when that Xanax hit, it was after the lays.
Right.
So you took
A fun meme. My MFW, that Xanax hit, mm-hmm. and then it's a chipmunk in a tree.
Yeah, but not for me because I'm not a chipmunk.
You are.
I'm not a chipmunk.
You are. For me, it'd be something else, like me sleeping or something.
Yeah, it'd be a chipmunk.
No.
Next to a chipmunk.
You are a chipmunk.
The most I'll give you
is
that
it time
I would
for, since it's April Fool's, the ruse is finally up?
Mm-hmm.
You say,
since it's April Fool's,
chipmunk.
We can say that the joke is finally over. I'm not a chipmunk.
No. That the joke is finally over, that you are a chipmunk.
I don't think so.
The ruse is up. You've been trying to pull one over on society for a fort year.
So will you tell me really quick, when you went under the laser, did you feel any Xanax thing, or you were fully awake, alert, and afraid?
I wasn't afraid, so maybe that means I was feeling a tiny little bit of the Xan.
Okay.
Was
it literally
sort of
just a laser, a light in your face?
Yeah, it looked kind of like I was underwater looking at a traffic light or something.
But no pain.
No pain at all. Kind of just like a sense of wonder. Like, I can't believe this is really happening to me. It felt like you're in a really vulnerable position.
Yeah.
If the guy just wanted to be an evil villain, he could just laser your face.
Yeah, or give you a bad prescription. And it's like, sorry, for the rest of your life, you have to wear really weird, uncomfortable glasses.
That's interesting. My fear was not that it was going to go slightly bad. My fear was that I was going to be tortured.
I see. James Bond style.
Yeah.
Where the laser would start going down your chin onto your dick.
Yeah, that's right. And it wasn't a Xan that they gave me. It was freaking speed.
Yeah. And it was,
so I was going to be hyper alert for
the
entire thing.
And they'd give you ASIC. That's ass LASIK. They reshape your little butthole so that when you shit, it's like a tube of star coming out.
Oh, I mean, I would definitely get that elective surgery.
Really? Because I've actually been thinking about purchasing one of those machines.
Right.
And
meanwhile, you just
sort of
reshaping
it.
You shoved a Play-Doh piece up your anus.
But was yours in the morning or the afternoon?
It was, I believe it was in the afternoon.
Yeah, because mine is in the morning, and they're like, for the rest of the day, you won't be able to see that well. I'm like, okay, so I got 14 hours to kill now. Yeah. Now I'm all blurred up, and it's 11 a.m. I have to go to brunch, then dinner.
It's a Monday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would prefer
late
in the day, because then it's like
you just go home and fall asleep.
Yeah, you probably only have to listen to a sporting event or a podcast.
Yeah, I've got a whole Monday to fill. I'm going to go to the fucking LACMA. I'm going to an art museum.
It's not the time.
It'll be blurry.
It obviously wouldn't be the time.
I have tickets to see Us.
Well, why would you do that?
A double feature. And I hear like it's really artistic.
Yeah, it's visually appealing. Yeah. It's fun to see it.
And then we're doing 2001 A Space Odyssey at my house.
Just every single frame.
Yeah, I got the 60mm and we're going to dissect it. And then I have an art history class.
You're planning too much. You're also groggy. You'll be groggy afterwards.
Well, wouldn't that Xanax hit?
Maybe that's why I was so groggy. It's so funny. They give you cheap sunglasses and a banana.
Oh, they gave you a banana.
I think they gave me a banana, unless I just had one.
I was so high. I don't remember if they gave me fruit or if I had it on the day.
Yeah, you get the LASIK, then you stick around for a little while. You can't see anything. You're just eyes shut in the waiting room.
Eyes wide shut.
Mm-hmm. And then they come, he looks at you, or at least my doctor did, looked at you after the fact, just to be like, okay,
it's fine.
This is good. You're good to go home.
But then how does it work with, you have the slit, right? Mm-hmm. So how does blinking not, open the flap? Because they have to flap open your cornea.
Yeah.
Blinking doesn't, lift the flap a little bit?
I guess not. But they tell you not to rub.
Yeah, don't rub. Don't do swimming or any hard physical activity.
Right. So I guess blinking is fine.
Do you remember what you ate for dinner that night in a half-blinded state?
Well, I had that banana.
Yeah, and that sort of that yeah, you were good to go.
I know. I don't remember. I'm sure that I did eat dinner, but it felt like I couldn't really see.
Yeah.
It wasn't pitch black.
But I was like, try to use your eyes, or did you just close your eyes? And you're like,
I pretty much just kept them closed.
Yeah.
And if I did open them, it was so like I could see stuff, mm-hmm. but like it almost felt like I was doing something wrong.
See, this is what I need. I need to just get over that day, which is this day if you're listening to it on Monday, April 1st. And then I want to get like these cheap frames of glasses just so I can like have a dummy frame to transition myself out of right. this life.
What about just putting glass frames in those glasses?
Yeah, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know how long that takes to do. I need to just like go to Warby Parker and just snatch a frame.
Right, yeah.
Grab a cheap one off the rack.
Yeah.
Or pop these out.
Right, that would work.
Or a fucking tattoo of glasses.
I don't know.
So I'm always wearing it.
That's interesting, but I don't think that would be smart.
All right, so I can schedule a tattoo removal because you can see I did start getting.
And I did that, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Really thin.
I see.
Yeah, it's under my glasses actually, now.
Because you just lifted up your glasses and it's a thick black tattoo.
Yeah, it's
so you got
like,
the tattoo.
It's one of those old fashioned April Fool pranks, which is like
on
use
you,
this
maybe.
Telescope and then you move and they have like a black ring around your eye.
Right.
So it's like that, but for glasses.
You're looking more and more like a chipmunk every day.
by the time you listen to the next episode, I guess we're recording the next one soon, so that'll also be before LASIK, mm-hmm. but I'll keep people abreast on my social media channels. Believe that.
I'm very, very excited to see.
And no one will believe it because it's a classic day of pranking. This is a classic prank to pull.
That's true.
And it doesn't really affect anyone else. So what kind of prank would it be?
A good one.
Thanks, man. I needed to hear that. All right. This is, after all, If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the web hosted by me.
And me.
Soon we'll both have perfect vision.
Yes.
That's right. Without any help of any fucking laser. We did it all by ourselves.
Well, we got the laser.
Right? Well, we got the laser as a little help, but now
help.
That it's
the
here.
Doctor.
Yeah, the doctor was fine.
It's fine that you needed help.
I really want to be the kind of guy that's like, I'm 36. And I got perfect vis.
It is cool. I was just at the DMV a few weeks ago, and they, like, had me read a thing, and they're like, do you wear glasses or contacts? I'm just like, no.
And I cool. never had to either. LASIK wouldn't know about it.
There was
it.
A freaking 2 years where I couldn't drive at night, but that's not me anymore.
All right, these are real questions from real people. I'm trying to find which ones we like the most. Your brother has been helping us out trying to find the best questions. All right, I found it.
Okay.
This one's called Father's Condom, and we need a Canadian boy's name.
Mike Myers.
Mike Myers writes, today I woke up at 5 a.m. to drive my parents to the airport like any good son would do. It's a 40-minute drive, so on my way we talked about life. My recent graduation, and potential career paths. Really, it all just culminated into one beautiful moment until we got to the airport and my dad got up off his seat to grab his bag. To my horror, a condom lay underneath where he was sitting. This single condom happens to be the same brand I use, so I immediately assumed it was mine, snatched it, and stuffed it in a nearby crevice of my car. I don't know if my dad saw me do it. The more I thought about it, the more I realized there was almost no way that any of my condoms could have made it into my car, and that that particular specimen must have slid out of my dad's pocket. When I got to my car to hug my parents to say goodbye, I hugged my mom and turned for my dad, and he was already past the airport doors. At this point, I'm guessing he panicked and decided to flee to California instead of say goodbye. Honestly, I feel bad for the guy and think the whole situation is pretty funny, but I know my dad and he's probably feeling pretty embarrassed about the whole situation. But it's such an awkward note to leave on since I won't be seeing him for 3 weeks. Should I say anything? Should I break the ice somehow? Should I pretend it never happens? I also have a tiny nagging doubt that maybe this condom really is mine, in which case, I don't even fucking know anymore. All I know for sure is that I need your guys' help.
FaceTime your dad, unwrap the condom, put it over your head,
and say, I found it.
I found something that belongs to you.
Eureka, a Trojan.
I think, yeah, like there's so many different ways that this condom could get in the back of the car. Maybe a friend.
You rarely think about a father's condom. Like, a father is the last person who needs a condom.
Right. Well, especially, like, if the kid is, like, driving age, does that mean that, like, the condom wasn't for the mom? Because maybe the mom's past having a kid age?
Yeah.
I don't quite know, like, the age. I'm not good enough at math to know, like, when she would have had to have this kid.
Yeah, it seems like their children having days are over when the first one is past college and thinking about his life, driving right. his parents to the airport.
Talking about career paths.
Yeah, while your dad's, like, sliding a condom on.
Right.
I can't get your mom pregnant again. Christ.
But I can't nut without a rubber.
This car ride is turning me on.
Don't hit another bottle, Mike.
Oh, fuck. Now your mom's all hot and bothered thinking about having another one of your kids.
Pull over. Pull the fuck over.
So I can pull the fuck out. I don't trust myself.
Is the part of the awkwardness that he maybe found something that his dad was using to cheat on mom with?
I didn't even think about that. But then why would the dad just fucking sprint away?
Yeah,
hold on, I think I dropped my freaking glasses and, like, scrambling to look for the condom.
The evidence is absolutely stacking up for the case that this is not your dad's condom.
Yeah, it's your condom. So maybe
don't text him or call him out about the condom.
Or maybe he stole a condom of yours to give you a nice talking to on the way to the airport.
Right.
But then, like, the conversation got really sweet and nice, and it was about, like, his future. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to fucking berate my son for buying Trojan extra skinnies. That's right. Also, my pencil-dicked offspring couldn't even get it up big enough for a regular condom. He had to buy this Trojan extra slim.
No way they call them skinny condoms, right? Like, they must make condoms that are that size, but what is the branding there?
Right, because I know there's regular and then there's Magnum. Magnum's a mm-hmm. cool name for a big cock. But what's the name for a skinny, short, slender little thing?
I guess what's like a smaller gun?
Yeah.
Because it's a Magnum or a...
Trojan Slims is really funny. For a man that's very thin at the bottom. A Trojan
Celebrate
straw.
Your thinness.
I have a sinness for the thinness.
I guess you call it like revolver. That's kind of like...
Yeah, but a revolver can also be thick.
Oh, if you want to go with a gun metaphor, Trojan half-cocked.
That's good. Or what about Trojan, that straw that you sort of shoot a little dart out of?
Jesus.
What's that called? A lawn dart?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, a blow dart.
A blow dart.
Trojan right. blow dart. I'm going to search condoms.
Condoms that are sharp.
I'm going to search condoms for skinny dicks and see what happens.
Okay. I bet
what's going to happen is my freaking girlfriend's going to find it and think that, yeah, it's already a purple link.
Right. No. That'll ruin your Instagram ads.
Mid-century modern furniture and skinny dick condoms. best condoms for small penises. What are good condoms?
We didn't say small. We said thin.
I assure you they're very long and taut. 10 condoms that offer size options. Glide Slim Fit.
Slim Fit.
That's pretty
slim
good.
Slim Fit.
That's pretty good.
It's like they're skinny jeans.
Yes. Then you can get a sampler pack. Then nobody can know that.
But they should be called glides then. So you don't have to, so like if you're... Well, I guess anybody you're about to have sex with is going to know that you have a slim dick if you have one, so it doesn't really matter.
It's not slim. I got the variety pack. Yeah, but all the larges are still in the box.
Well, I roll the dice each time. Sometimes you only roll once.
And that's good enough for me. So this odds are is not your father's condom, and even if it is, you don't have to bring it up to the old man.
Yeah, I think no matter what, don't say anything. And you can kind of talk yourself out of, like, your anxiety about this by knowing that we are of the mind that this is not your dad's condom.
Yeah. It is your mom's birth control, though.
Ooh.
Here's a good one. From an American man, we'll call Dana Carvey.
Nice.
I'm a freshman dude in college, and I'm in quite a sticky situation. A girl in my friend group has recently talking mad shit about how she can beat me in a fight. Obviously, my friends think this is hilarious, so they won't let it go and are insisting that me and this girl wrestle on the quad to settle the debate once and for all. My problem is, if I win this match, am I just a douchebag for beating up a girl? But if I lose, then I will be humiliated and shamed for the rest of my college career. Should I refuse to fight and risk being called a pussy? Or do I beat the shit out of this girl and reclaim my honor? Thanks for helping and much love. P.S. I'm 6'4", 175, but not very strong for my size. The girl in question is 5'6 and 145, but she's a varsity rower and extremely strong for a girl. Her deadlift is bigger than mine at 355.
Holy shit.
I'm confident that my upper body is stronger than hers, but her legs are pretty powerful. Neither of us have much experience or skill when it comes to wrestling.
Wow.
This is a good fight.
This is a good question.
I want to see the fight.
So yeah, I would selfishly,
I want this guy to go for
right.
it.
Right, yeah, I want...
And it
I
would
want,
be funny if he lost.
Go for it, follow up, pup.
Let us know who wins. Like, if she's got super strong rowing legs, she could just, like, square up with him and then, like, just kick him.
Yeah,
anywhere.
I mean, I don't think... I think that, like...
I would lose to a really strong 5'6" jacked female.
Totally. If you... I mean, if you don't know how to fight, then you'll lose in a fight.
Yeah,
I feel like people that know how to fight just, like...
But she doesn't know how to fight either.
Right. But I
but
guess
she has really
got,
strong legs.
If she's got, if she knows how, if she's lift, if she's deadlifting like 355, then I think she could beat me up too.
Yeah, I would just kick until I break one of his bones.
Right.
Or get kicked until I cried.
I think the only way to save face is to not do it and make it purely about honor.
Not do it?
To not fight.
Oh.
To just be like, no, I won't do it. I'm not going to fight a girl. Yeah. I won't fight a girl.
Yeah, but
and
I
nobody
to
has
fight.
To know that you're not doing it because you'll lose.
Or you can
you'll
fight
do it,
and
do
lose.
It because you have some sort of like old world sense of right and wrong, what like Captain America style. I never hit a woman.
What about fight and lose? And then everyone's like, "Did you lose on purpose?" And then you could say no. And then some people think you're really honorably lying, but you're actually telling the truth.
But I don't understand how that's. So you'll lose,
mm-hmm.
and then people will. I just don't understand how that's good advice, man.
Because he's losing to a woman, and it's sort of empowering his friend group to see, like, oh yes, just because I'm a man doesn't mean I'll win in a fight.
Right. I guess the other thing you can do is just like let all these notions go and be like, it's not embarrassing if I lose to a girl in a fight.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily stronger than this person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to fight and we'll give it my all. And if I lose, hey, she's a better fighter than me.
Although,
there's no shame in that.
This says wrestling, which is a little different than fighting, right? Like in wrestling, your job is to pin the other person.
Yeah.
So like you can still lose and not get beat up or win and not beat this girl up.
Right. Or, I mean, you could try to wrestle her and then like win or lose. And then if you lose, you're like, damn, you could also beat Joey. And then, like, she has to wrestle somebody else, you know?
And like, then Joey's like, I would never wrestle a woman, and everyone applauds him.
I think you could turn this into, like, a big group wrestling thing.
Yeah, start a tournament.
Yeah, it sounds fun, but what you don't want is for it to be, like, about you two fighting, because then the shame is too squarely on your shoulders. Do you remember when we did this at College Humor?
No, who fought?
Oh no!
It was dudes.
It was only guys that fought. I don't think any. Well, that because like no girls worked at that office then.
I did not do it.
You didn't fight?
No.
Yeah, I fought Vinny.
And who won?
I won.
That's cool.
But there was like,
was it a wrestling though? Was it like pinning the other person?
It was a pin. Yeah, it was pinning. It was just pinning. And
pinning is winning.
But I remember, like, it was a huge circle where like two people that had like. Planned, like, I don't know how this started. Like, it was like Trey Wynn and
Iowa.
Yeah, two like the like those crazier people, or like, yeah, like Chris Collins and Kevin Corrigan.
Uh huh.
But like, they wrestled, and then when it was over, people just started like pointing across, like, you're evenly matched with you, like, right. Size wise, you go.
This would be an interesting battle,
right? And that's like,
but you have like 7 inches on Vinny.
Yeah, I think Vinny picked me, which was good because I was worried that I was gonna just get picked and lose, and I didn't want to lose, but I also didn't want to leave, and I didn't want to fight. But I didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
I didn't want to lose. So I was like, all right, you have to fight.
Was it hard?
Yeah. I mean, at that point, I also like never climbed, never went to the gym. I would like run for exercise. So I wasn't like strong either.
Right.
And yeah, it was just like, I have to just like fall on top of him and get him to stop. I have to end the fight by pinning him first.
I did a similar thing, but basketball wise, with a friend in college, my friend Pavla, who played on her high school team, and me played one-on-one in the same fashion where it's like, do you think you can beat Pavla one-on-one? And I felt a little bad, but I did think so. She felt bad, and she did think so as well.
So you guys both thought you could beat each other.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But we ended up playing one-on-one, and it was closer than I thought, but I ended up winning, mainly because I was just, like, overpowering her. She was better at basketball, but I was taller and a little bit stronger.
So you're boxing her out.
Yeah.
Committing hard fouls, yeah. Throwing elbows.
Yeah, not playing fair. Calling fouls on her. I called a technical on her at one point for complaining.
Yeah. So did you, and like, as the result of that came in, like, as you won, were people like, oh, good, you like,
no,
you get to keep your man card, Blumenfeld?
No. People, it was like two people watching, felt kind of bad for us because we were both pretty bad at one on one. We both got tired very quickly. So that could be a thing too. Like, they could wrestle and like, they both put up a good fight, but like, they both at the end say, you know what, let's call it a tie.
Yeah.
That's the happiest ending, I think.
We are both good. Well, no, because then I feel like
we're both equally bad.
Right. But these guys, like, men are douchebags, you know, some of them. And I feel like the ones that are goading into this guy into fighting a girl because they think it'll be funny to see him lose.
Yeah.
Well, they will tease him just as hard if he draws.
I just say do it and let us know what happened. I'm very curious. This email just came in, so we can actually guide him. Agree?
I don't know if I want to see him do it, but I guess my advice is do it, but with the attitude of, it's not embarrassing if you lose. Somebody just wants to fight you, just wants to wrestle you, and if you think it might be fun, you should do it.
It's a consensual match. Have at it.
Yeah, but if you don't want to no pressure. If you don't want to wrestle, you don't
pressure,
have to wrestle.
Pressure.
That's the question. Would he wrestle one of his friends in the quad if his friend wanted to wrestle in the quad? Or is he just like above general public displays of wrestling in the quad? Which I think I would be, and that's fine.
What if he just gets arrested right away? Like, a policeman comes by and is like, this guy is just shoving this girl into the ground.
Oh, that's interesting. Just is so quickly tased.
It's illegal,
You could tell, like, a campus security person that, like, hey, I think a fight's going to go down in the quad today. And then you show up in a singlet. He doesn't know it's you, but then he stops the fight before it happens. And then you had the huevos to show up.
All right, let us know what you end up doing. Either way, I'm going to send this guy ask for a follow-up.
Very much so. We should start doing the follow-up pup with the phone call, man. I really want to do that.
Wow. Straight up, let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a break, thank some sponsors, and we'll be back with more questions and answers after this.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional-looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like,
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's it's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Anti-movement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But so it's fitness now. Yeah, it's more of a fitness now thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
Amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn, and I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rocket Money.
And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a lesson that I need. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross. I bought a jade roller.
Squeef me?
Exqueef you indeed. I bought a jade roller,
which is what? A stone on a stick. You can roll it on your face to save face.
So you know what it is.
Where did you hear about it? Why did you buy it? When do you use it? And why do you cry it?
So I went to the Vogue fashion, no wait, the Vogue beauty closet when I directed that short with Ken Jeong.
Okay.
This you recall? I posted about it on my Instagram.
That's right.
And I also posted about it on my Finstagram.
Really?
Yes. So in that closet, there's a bunch of like strange products. And the jade roller was one that we used. It, like, I don't know if it made it to the final video, but that was my first foray. I was like, what is it? It's like a face massager. You just like roll it on your face.
That's right.
And they told me that it like reduces puffiness, it massages the face, it gets rid of bags under your eyes. And I was like, no, it doesn't. And I walked away, never to think about it again. Then I was in a store with my wife, Jillian, and we came across the jade roller. And she was like, oh, I wanted to try this. And I was like, really? I've seen this in my life as well.
That's the exact same one I walk past in New York City. It's following me.
So then I think it reached a fever pitch for me.
When I came home.
They kept on coming up.
There's a jade roller on my pillow.
So yeah, we bought it, and I didn't know that you keep them in the freezer,
not just fridge. No.
Well, I don't know if everybody does this.
A frozen slab of metal.
Yeah.
It's stone.
It's like a frozen stone. And in the morning...
But it's a cylinder, so you can roll it.
It looks like a paint roller. It looks like a tiny little... It's like a paint roller, but the handle is the size of like half a toothbrush, you know? And it's small.
Yeah.
I guess it looks... It's like maybe the size of a razor, except it's a roller instead of a razor. Anywho.
It's the size of a raisin on a straw.
It's a raisin. It's a craisin.
It's a small frozen raisin.
It's a craisin on your mom.
On a floss.
So I gave it a shot. I honestly don't know if I've reduced my bags or my puffiness of my face, but what I can tell you is that rolling something that cold on your face in the morning is really nice.
And what's the process there? Is it straight up out of bed to the freezer? You're rolling it on your face?
It's in the freezer. Uh-huh. So straight up out of bed, brush the teeth, change. It's the last thing I do before I – it's like – something I do as my oatmeal is boiling or something.
You're leading an insane life right now.
Yeah.
Oatmeal boiling, Jade is roiling.
That's right.
And I'm out the door for a snack.
That reminds me of another little piece of unsolicited advice I've had, which is I'm a big snoozer.
Uh-huh.
I'll snooze for hours. Uh-huh. I'll snooze for days. I once snoozed for 9 fucking days. That's a week.
Over
a week of snoozing.
Yes, it is. It's too much.
I was snoozing and losing.
Yeah, you snoozed really and lost.
I didn't eat. I didn't drink.
I'm sorry to
I
hear
laid
all this.
And wasted in my bed for 9 whole days because I was good. Snoozing.
Yeah.
9-minute increments. Wow. I didn't catch a wink of sleep.
Edgewise. Just turn off your phone. Yeah, it's interrupted.
I was edging sleep. I was edging REM.
Yeah, it's like every time I'd start to drift off, somebody would slap me in the face.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So anyway, what I've been doing lately is just as soon as my alarm goes off, I get up. Just like no rolling over,
yourself.
No pressing, no seeing anything. Just like alarm goes off, 2 seconds later, I'm out of bed. And it helps that I usually have to pee.
Because so, it gives you something to do.
Yeah. So I like get up and I go and I pee. And as I'm peeing, I'm like, oh man, I'm going to go back to bed for a little bit. But by the end of my pee, I'm like, maybe I'll just brush my teeth. So that way, like, I brush my teeth and then I can go back to bed. And then when I really have to wake up, I'll just get right up.
That's right.
But by the time you're done brushing your teeth, you're like, I'm up now.
It's over. So the hard part's done.
You need like less than 2 minutes to wake yourself up.
Yeah.
And you will snooze. You'll snooze for 9 days.
Yeah. It really, for me, it matters like when in my cycle I wake up. Like if I wake up naturally before an alarm, that's so much better than like falling back asleep for another 20 minutes.
Right.
Because when you're dreaming and your alarm goes off, that's when like I just feel like someone's dragging me back to bed.
Do you use that bedtime app?
No, I just set my alarm for later, like my last possible moment. And I usually wake up beforehand.
What time are you waking up these days?
Between 8 and 8:30.
And you'll set your alarm for what, like 8:36?
Yeah, or like 9:08.
Oh, but you're never sleep until 9.
Never.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like I actually probably do get up before 8 when I set my alarm for 9, but most of the time I set my alarm for 8:30 and it does wake me up.
So you're asleep. If you set your alarm for 8:30, are you looking at your phone to see like what time it is? Because it's like, oh, it's daylight out. I wonder what time it is.
Well,
and it's like 7:43.
No, I never. I don't wake up before my alarm.
You don't. You never check the time.
No.
Do you pee in the middle of the night?
Sometimes I pee in the middle of the night, but I don't care what time it is. I can sense that it's dark.
So it's like it could be 2 a.m. It could be 6:30 a.m.
Yeah,
you have no idea.
I have like an anxiety of. Because I like to sleep with such darkness.
Yeah.
Like if I turn my phone on and it like hits me with light, I won't be able to fall back asleep as quickly.
You sitting down when you're doing the middle of the night piece?
Middle of the night pee, I'll sit.
Ever fallen asleep and then like woken up face down on the floor of your cold hard bathroom next to the toilet?
I'm sorry that's happened to you.
No?
You asked that in a way that just made me know that it happened to you. Obviously it's never happened to me.
Have you ever been so exhausted like you couldn't quite go to bed? And then, like, you finally passed out, and then you wake up, you go to pee, and you're sitting down on the toilet, but your dick is like over the lip. Like you sit down, but you're like so out of it. Your dick is over the lip.
Again,
and you start pissing on the floor. And like that noise is kind of like that white noise app that Avital or whoever uses.
No, so this does it happen to you.
The sound of the
you're using
the sound of the urine on the porcelain floor is almost like rain on.
You're saying this hasn't happened to you?
Jade roof in Tokyo.
Stop talking over me. I get it, okay?
And then you fall asleep. You're lulled to sleep by the sound of your own piss hitting the floor.
No, that's never happened to me.
You lean forward.
It's never happened
eventually
to me.
Out of frame.
I know you're confiding in me in the form of a question.
Has that ever happened to me? You?
It's happened to you.
It has happened to you.
It's happened to you.
It
buddy.
Happened to you.
And it's okay.
It happens to you yesterday. It happens to you yesterday, and it happens to you one other time.
And how did you apologize to Avital?
When she woke up and she found you face first in your own piss, how do you explain to her that you're not back on the fucking wagon after that? You have a whiskey dick.
I'm so sorry.
You don't have to
And it can barely fit into your Trojan slims.
And you're having one of those days where your dick is just receding into your... It's a nub.
It's just
nub
one of those days.
Everything got to get wet. Everything is waked up, and then you wake up on the floor of the bathroom. It's just one of them days. Anyway, then you use the Jade Roller.
Oh, yeah. So my unsolicited advice is the Jade Roller. I think it's nice. I think it wakes you up. I think it's – I'm all about soothing routines that make you feel a certain way. I don't care if it does anything to my face, really. But I do like feeling – like optimized, elegant, streamlined, like full American Psycho mode.
Yeah,
like it puts the day off on the right foot.
You wear an ice mask if your face is a little puffy.
Exactly.
You use an ice mask. You use a Jade Roller.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe get a Jade Roller. I don't know.
Maybe
see if it's for you.
Yep.
All right. Should we get to one last question before we have to hit the bricks?
It's cool with me.
This is from a hippie woman. Who's a hippie ass woman in your life?
Ooh. Oh, I guess all of my sisters.
All of your sisters are a hippie woman to you.
Which one's more hippie? The one that works on a farm? A hydroponic or aquaponic farm
that one.
On a roof?
Yeah, of course that one.
The one that worked on an organic tea farm?
Uh-huh.
Or the one that's in a folk music band?
Oh. Which woman do you choose?
I guess maybe Sarah is the most hippie-ish.
Okay, a hippie-ish named Sarah writes, I'm a third-year student in the States, and at the start of this year, I moved into a co-op. For those unfamiliar with the term, these are basically big old houses brought up and exist around the country. The best way I can describe a co-op is if you imagine a frat house and then fill it with stoners. Just a bunch of dirty hippies all under one roof. You think Sarah would live in a co-op?
No, she would hate it.
So among all of the smoking...
All her would.
So among the smoking, there's lots of fucking, and the shit can get messy when you live together. But with 30 of us all under one roof, it's kind of inevitable. Within the first month, I started to have pretty serious feelings for this one guy who happened to live on the floor below mine. It was hella dope, and we were pretty transparent about our feelings for each other. Shit started to get serious, but then I moved two states away for an internship at the end of the semester. 2 months into doing long distance, this guy calls me and ended things. He breaks up over the phone. Now, I do think the distance was too much for both of us, and it was for the better that things ended. But the plot only thickens from here.
Ooh.
Turns out the night before he ended things, one of my housemates overheard him and this other girl talking. Not just any girl, a hula-hooping rave girl. An absolute dime piece, if you will. So this chick ends up reading his tarot cards and explaining to him that his current relationship is weighing on him and that he needs to end things. And what do you know? The next day he does just that. Ever since, he's been all up in her business. I'm not really upset that he's talking to someone else. I'm more irritated that he was so emotionally out of touch that he needed a fucking tarot card reading to tell him how to feel. Do I have right to be pissed off that he ended a meaningful and emotional relationship because someone read him a bullshit fortune? What do you think?
Cheers, love, Sarah.
It's like taking your car to the used car sales lot and like asking that guy, like, hey, can you inspect the car and tell me if I need a new one?
Yeah, the person, so the tarot card reader is like, oh, this card. He's like, yeah, the one that says love and fertility. She's like, yeah, that's actually a really bad sign. It means that like you're out of love with this woman. What about this joy card? It means you're in a sad relationship.
It means you can find joy somewhere else.
This one just says Sarah. Yeah, that means that she's weighing bad. She's bad for you on you. You want to see this hula hoop trick? I guess don't date a hippie who lives in a co-op with 30 other people who seems to be very, what's it called when you are easily swayed?
Oh,
not influential, the opposite.
Yeah.
You're so in.
Oh my God. I think word, I have fucking Alzheimer's, dude.
The word where it's like, you're so, oh, persuadable, not persuadable.
No, it's, you're
there's a Jake and Amir video about it where you're like, you're so this.
Right.
I'm easily persuaded.
It's, I know, it's influenced. It's not influenced. It's
easily persuaded synonyms.
So
so many people are yelling the word.
I know.
At us. Should we just keep struggling to guess without me looking it up?
Yeah.
You're okay. So.
Stop saying you're so. Okay, you have to shut the fuck up. You have to shut the fuck up right now. Fuck.
You're so.
It's one word and it starts with I, right?
Insulated. You're so insulated, like that, but not insulated.
Yeah.
This guy is obviously so perceptible. No, that's not a word.
Impressionable?
Impressionable, sort of. I'm going to look it up.
It's not quite impressionable, right?
Easily influenced synonyms. No.
Read them out.
Maybe? No. No. This is hard. Agreeable, amenable, adaptable, accommodating, pliable, well-behaved.
So, wait, what was the one? So, do impressionable.
I hope we don't figure it out and like it doesn't have that joyous, oh yeah.
That's why I think it might be impressionable. I'm sort of like my itch feels scratched right now.
Impressionable is scratched.
Yeah. We'll search that as a... Other synonyms for that.
Susceptible?
Oh, susceptible? No.
You're so... Why don't you
search the Jake and Amir script archive for the word impressionable, and we'll see if that's in the video.
Yeah, but do you remember any other part of that video? Because then we could look up exactly what it is.
No.
Oh, it is. Horoscopes.
Wow.
Your mind is so impressionable. My mind is not impressionable. Yes, it is. I guess it is.
Yeah, that is. That's the video.
So the word, after all, is impressionable.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this guy seems to be swayed very easily, or he heard what he wanted to hear, which was that things aren't great between you and that he doesn't want to be in a long-distance relationship. And now you're feeling jealous and anger towards the tarot card reader. He can do whatever he wants. He is a singlesman, and now you are a singleswoman, and you can do whatever you want. You best probably just move into another co-op, meet someone else, and you'll stop thinking about this guy entirely.
Fucking savage, Blumenfeld.
I really don't give a shit right now because I'm like under the laser and I'm blinded by the light.
Blinded by the light.
I was thinking that there's a risk in LASIK blinding myself, but I've already like seen everything that there is to see. So like it wouldn't be that bad to have it that way.
It's interesting.
So it's like, ooh, you're in Hawaii now and you can't experience it. It's like, yeah, well, I already have the fucking memory of it, so joke's on you.
Right. Well, what about going to like Tokyo?
Where? I'd love to see
everything.
I can't ever see a sunset in Tokyo again.
Right. Not if you were blind.
I could feel the heat, but it's just not enough.
You can describe it to me.
The memory of my lover is starting to fade with time, like an old photograph, and I'm afraid that I'll never get it back.
I poked a single hole, and your whole entire world is deflating.
I'm canceling. I'm absolutely canceling. All right, that's it. That's our time. If you want some more, if I were you, we should always say that you can get some more at our Patreon, patreon.com/JA, and we uploaded our first... A full-length sample episode to our YouTube channel. youtube.com/ifiwereyoushow. It's me, you, Ben Schwartz, talking about Milkman Part 1 and 2.
Great show.
It's a good sample of what we're doing there with Jake and Amir. Watch Jake and Amir.
Good
and
example.
The first time you can watch an entire episode to see if it's for you. We got one with Thomas, with Ben. We got Jill, your wife. Avital, my girlfriend. That episode is up right now. We went to New York, shot more with Streeter and the Rosies.
Did the Rosies drop yet?
No, not yet. None of the New York episodes are out yet.
Dope, dude. Those are fun ones.
But we're adding stuff every week to patreon.com/JA. Check it out. Thanks for listening. Opening theme song, once again, was Matt Brooks. Closing one is by, let me search this guy's name. Mike from Sweden, who did Yams remix.
Oh, let's hear that shit.
Thanks, Matt Brooks. Thanks, Mike from Sweden. Thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be back next week, April 8th.
Ta-da.
Ta-da, and ciao for now.
How about a song that goes yams, 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 stop? Now make that motherfucker sweet potato. Yams, 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 yams,
that was a HeadGum podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.